Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. We praise Allah because He deserves to be praised. Allah deserves infinite praise for who He is and for what He's done. We ask Allah for help because nobody else can help anyone if Allah does not help that person. And we ask Allah for forgiveness for all the sins that we have done, those that we remember and those that we've forgotten. I declare that there is no one worthy of worship or admiration except the one and only true God, and that is Allah. And I declare that Muhammad was the last and final messenger sent for the guidance of all people until the end of time. Now then, there's an ancient Greek philosopher known as Aristotle, who made a comment about human relationships. He said that man is a social animal. And what he meant by that was, he says that people cannot survive in isolation. They cannot live just by themselves without interacting with other people. The reason why we interact with people daily is because, one, our survival depends on it, and two, it makes our life more comfortable and more enjoyable. We trade, we barter, we help one another, we specialize in different things, and society is able to develop more. But when we interact with people, it benefits us. But also, interacting with people can also harm us. And the closer you are to somebody, the more benefit or the more harm will actually result from that relationship or from that interaction. So Islam taught us what types of relationships we should have and to what extent should we have them. And it told us what type of people we should try to keep company with and what type of people we should keep a little bit of distance from, because it affects us greatly. Now in general, Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَى, that believers are nothing but siblings to one another, brothers and sisters of each other. So we should be nice and we should be kind and we should be friendly to everybody, to all people, to Muslims who believe that there is only one God and that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the final messenger. We should be extra friendly to them. But the word friendly is an adjective, and the word friend is a noun. And we should differentiate between the two. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings be upon him, he said, "Ar-rajulu ala dini khalilihi," that a person is going to be on the deen, the religion or the way of life of their closest friend. "Falyanzur ahadukum may yukhalil," so be very careful whom you take as your close friend. Authentic hadith. So he's warning us, and he's basically saying that be careful who you're friends with, because it's going to affect you greatly. If you look at what the definition of a friend is, what is friendship? Friendship is a relationship of, you know, mutual affection between two people, but it's a different type of relationship than just a normal interpersonal, you know, bond with your coworker or with your classmate or with your neighbor or with some colleague. It's on a higher level. It's not just people you know or interact with daily. It's somebody that you actually choose to spend more of your time with on a much higher level. And the reason why it's so important is because when you love somebody and when you spend time with somebody, you are influenced by them, whether you like it or not. And when you're influenced by them, you start to synchronize with them in your behavior, in your way of thinking, in your tastes, in your style, in everything. So if you take an example of somebody who likes to play basketball, a lot of Muslims in our community play basketball. And if you're on the court, you'll see some people, they're going to wear a jersey of their favorite basketball player. It's going to have their number on it. It's going to have their name on it. Not the name of the person who's playing the game. It's going to have the name and the number of somebody else who they idolize and they look up to as being a great basketball player. Whether it's, you know, Kobe or LeBron or older Michael Jordan, whoever it may be. And what happens is, not only are they changing their dress, but then when they dribble the ball, if they like Michael Jordan, they start sticking their tongue out. If they like, you know, some other player, they'll go and get a haircut that's similar to the haircut of the basketball player. Now, does the haircut help the ball go into the hoop? No. Does sticking your tongue out help you make the three-pointer? No. So what happens is you start to imitate and you automatically take on things that are unconnected with the game whatsoever. Why? Because the influence of the people that you hold dear in your heart automatically affects you. And this is natural whether you like it or not. And I learned this the hard way. When I was in India, I studied in an Islamic university, and the principal of the school told me, even though it's a Muslim school with Muslims, the principal told me, don't tell anybody that you're from the United States of America. I was shocked. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, just trust me. For your own good, don't tell people you're from America, because this is a poor area and they're going to look at you differently and they're going to try. Something's going to happen. It's just not going to be good for you. So I said, okay, I'll do that. So I was going around trying to blend in with everyone else and wearing the clothes and just kind of keep my mouth shut so they don't hear my, you know, accent and all that stuff. And still, people would come up to me and they'd be like, where are you from? And I'd be like, yeah, I'm from over this place. No, you're not. You're either from the US, the UK, Canada, or maybe South Africa, but nowhere else. You're from one of these countries. I'm like, and it kept on happening again and again. I'm like, how do all these people know? He said, we can tell by the way you walk. It's automatic. Just by the, you don't walk like people from this country. You walk differently because you're from a culture. So whether you like it or not, you absorb the mannerisms of people around you. You absorb the ideas of people around you. And you naturally, this just happens whether you like it or not. That's why we need to think about the importance of the people we're around. And that's why it's also important for people to hang around, Muslims to hang around Muslims. And I get this question all the time. Parents call and ask me, they say, you know what? My son, he's going off on the wrong path. My daughter, she's going away from Allah. What can I do? Can you talk to her? Can you talk to him? And I ask first two questions always. Question number one, do they pray? And did they grow up praying? And if the answer is no, it's a really bad sign. And the second question that I ask is, are the majority of their friends Muslims or non-Muslims? And you can tell if they say they're not Muslim, then you can tell where a large part of the problem is. It's gonna take people away from Islam. And if they say yes, they're Muslims, then I ask, are they Muslims who pray? It changes everything too. So these are really, it shows you that people are going to be influenced. And I know the argument, some people are going to make the argument. They're going to say, well, you know, what if the Muslims in your community are bad influences, but the non-Muslim, they have good behavior and they have good characteristics and all that stuff. Yes, there are some exceptions, of course. But when you live in a society where 1 out of 100 people are Muslim, versus another society where 99 out of 100 people are Muslim, whether you like it or not, there's going to be some level of influence. When Islam is normalized in a society, there's going to be many pros. There's going to be some cons. People will take Islam for granted and things like that. But there are many pros as well. So the point is that you need to surround yourself with people who believe in Allah. Surround yourself with people who respect the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Surround yourself with people who love the Quran and who turn to the Quran for guidance. And when you do that, it's automatically going to affect you. Whether you like it or you don't like it, it's automatically you're going to start to synchronize with them, whether you do it intentionally or unintentionally. And that's why it is said that a good friend is a priceless gift. You can never put a price tag on it. But what is a good friend? A good friend is not just somebody who accepts you who you are. The definition of a good friend is two. Somebody who accepts you who you are, and somebody who helps you become the person that you should be. It's two. And that's why, you know, friends are like, it's like having a good friend is like being on autopilot. We do a lot of things on autopilot, right? If you have like a coffee machine, you set it for like 5 a.m. and automatically it turns on. Or if you have a toaster, for example, right? A lot of people use toasters. You put it in there, it's on autopilot, it's going to turn off after whatever setting you did, it pops out. If you left it on the stove, you'd have to sit there and watch it all the time. Here, don't have to worry about it, just push one button, it's going to pop out and it's going to be ready. It makes your life easier. Cruise control or adaptive cruise control or advanced autopilot or whatever it is, makes your life easier. When you have good friends, it makes your life easier because automatically the goodness is just going to be absorbed by you. It makes your life easier. It's easier to be a good person. It's easier to excel in the things that you want to do. And that's why the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, he described having a friend like a person who sells perfume and an ironsmith or blacksmith, like an iron worker. So he said, if you go into a person who sells perfume and cologne and etter and things like that, you can either buy something, and you buy something that smells nice and you put on your clothes and you walk out, you're smelling nice. And he says, even if you don't buy anything, meaning you don't even put much effort into it, you don't invest much into the relationship, you still probably, it smells nice when you're in there. And when you walk out, probably you're going to walk out with a little bit of good smell on your clothes. But when you walk into the store where somebody's working with metal, like those in the old times, they're working with metal and they have the fire on there and they're making swords and all of that stuff, when you go in there, you can potentially get burned by the fire because moving around. And even if you stay away from the fire and you're very careful, it smells bad in there. And when you walk out, probably your clothes will be smelling a little bit bad too. So whether you want it, even if you were super cautious, there's still going to be some remnants, some effects on you when you walk out. And that's why we need to, you know, we need to be very, very careful. Now, some people, when they hear this, they say, okay, I want to have good friends. But, you know, people don't like me. And those religious people and stuff, people go to the masjid and all that, I don't feel welcome around them. And you can't sit there and complain, because when it comes to friendships, you have to also ask yourself, what am I doing to nurture that friendship? And how can I make myself into a good friend, somebody who's generally likable, you know? So there's a nice book called The Relationship Cure by Dr. John Gottman. And he's, you know, well-known researcher. And he wrote this book not just for married couples, but he wrote it for friendships. And he talks about how can you have a strong relationship with somebody else? And he talks about this old theory. He says the old theory among psychologists was that people form deep connections with each other because they open up about what happened to me in the past and my life and my dreams and all my personal secret thoughts. And when you open up to someone, then you develop a deep bond with them. And Dr. Gottman said no. His research showed that it's actually, that's not the case. So in 1990, he established a research lab at the University of Washington. And he put people in the room, and he was recording them, and he's got sensors tied up to them and checking their sweat levels and checking their heart rate and checking when they talk to people, what happens. And they do a whole team analyzing all of these interactions with other people. And what he found was something very interesting. He said that it's not about what you're talking about with the other person. It's how you talk about it that matters. So how you talk about things matters more than what you're talking about. So he talks about this idea and he says, you know what? People have what's called bids for attention. Basically, you throw out something and you're looking for some level of response or attention from that person, and people are going to respond in different ways. So for example, let's say you go up to one of your friends and you're like, hey, did you hear about the elections in Turkey? You know, Erdogan won and this is good victory for Islam and all of that. He says there are three potential responses that somebody can say. The first response is to turn away from it. And turn away from it is like, yeah, I heard. And then you take out your phone and you just start texting somebody else. You don't care. You're like, yeah, I know that. Conversation is done. The second response is to turn against that attention that they threw out. And turning against it is like, who cares? I don't live there. I don't live in Turkey. I don't care what happens over there. So you just shut that entire conversation down. And the third response is you turn towards it and you accept it and you acknowledge it. You'd be like, yeah, alhamdulillah, that's great. Man, I hope Islam flourishes there. You know, I love those Ertugrul type inspired shows. You know, they're awesome. I want to go visit the country. It's going to be great for me. You know, inshallah, it's going to be good for the Muslims. So that's happens with every interaction you have with somebody. If you're just sitting down and you're just having like a cup of coffee with somebody, and you know, you ask somebody, your hands are dirty, you're eating one of those cookies or something, and you're like, hey, can you grab me a napkin? You can do the same thing. You can turn away from the bid, and you'd be like, oh, my coffee's gonna get cold. Sorry, I can't help you. You can turn against it, be like, get your own napkin. I look like your slave or something. Or you can turn towards it. Be like, sure, man, I'll get you. In fact, I'll get a napkin for the other people on the table too. What is that going to do to your friendship? What you're doing is you're communicating a message. When you turn towards somebody's bid, you're automatically communicating a signal saying, I value you. I care about you. I like spending time with you. When you turn away from that, or when you turn against it, you're basically sending a signal that I don't appreciate you, I don't care for you, and you really don't mean anything in my life. So depending on how you respond, it's going to determine how you build relationships with people. So what we need to do as Muslims is, first of all, we need to identify what type of relationships do you want to have in your life. And then think about the ones you already have. And the ones that you know you want to keep, try to strengthen them. Try to spend more time with those people and be extra good to those people. And you work on building new relationships with other people to help yourself improve for your own good. For your good of your akhirah, your next life, and for the good of your dunya, for the good of your this life as well. But then the Prophet, peace be upon him, he also warned us. What about that bad smell? What about the potential to get burned? What do we do about that? And a lot of people, they say all the time, they're like, it's hard for me to get out of my friend circle. Every time they call me, they're like, come on, we're going out, man, let's go hang out. It's really hard for some people to say no. They just can't say no. So there's two nice books that have been written about this, somewhat similar. One of them is called Boundaries by Henry Cloud. And another one is called Necessary Endings, also by him too. And he says that a lot of people struggle with saying no when they know something is not good for them, but they just get sucked into it. So he gives a good tip. He says the tip is you let the other person make the decision for you if you're hesitating, so that you don't have to make the decision. You say, well, how do you do that? What you do is you set healthy and reasonable boundaries with the other person, basically telling them that there's certain behavior that I don't like, and I really, really don't like it, and it's actually unacceptable to me, but I don't know what to do. So you set this boundary and you tell them, you know what, man, every time you cuss, every time you use bad language, it really bothers me. It goes into my heart, and then I start using the same thing, and I'm thinking about those words. I'm trying to cut that out of my life. I don't want it in my life. So please don't use that language around me. Or say, every time you smoke, you know, I don't like it. You know, I don't want to get lung cancer. And you know, if you're smoking weed, it just smells so bad. I don't want to be around there. I know maybe you're addicted and you're not getting the help that you need, but don't do it in front of me. And you set a boundary. And now you let the other person make the decision. You have communicated very clearly what really bothers you. And then they get to decide. Are they going to cross over your boundary and just smoke in front of you anyway? Are they going to use foul language in front of you anyways? Or are they going to respect it? And if you give them the threat and say, hey, if you cross this boundary, you don't have to use the word boundary, but if you do this, I really don't want to hang out with you anymore. And if they break it, you follow through on the threat and you say, look, I don't want to hang out anymore. And now you know why. I'm not just not going to answer your phone calls anymore. You're going to understand why, because I already communicated this to you very clearly. They made the decision for you. And you don't have to sit there feeling bad about, oh, what did I do? No, they decided. You put the ball in their court. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our relationships. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to get closer to Him. Ameen. I ask Allah for forgiveness for me and for you. You also ask Him for forgiveness. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ba'd. So just to recap, we talked today about the importance of friendships, about cultivating and building good, strong friendships that are going to help you in your life and going to help you in your next life. And be careful and distance yourself from some relationships that are taking you towards the fire, or relationships that are just dragging you down and you're stressed out and you're not moving anywhere in life. Change your friend circle. We ask Allah, O Allah, help us to have the courage to make the right decisions in this life. O Allah, help us do only things which will please You and keep us away from doing anything which will displease You. O Allah, those people who are struggling, O Allah, make it easy for them. O Allah, those people who are sick, cure them and make it a means of purification for them. O Allah, show us the truth is truth and help us to follow it. Show us the false is false and keep us away from it. Ameen. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa aqim as-salah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya ala salati, hayya ala al-falah. Qad qamati as-salatu, qad qamati as-salah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
Stow.